I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. I want to follow up and continue from last Sunday's discussion of what parents and coaches can say or do when it comes to trying to help their athlete cope with an injury that suddenly takes them out of the games and puts them right on the sidelines. Now, we had just gotten into a conversation about this topic last week when we ran out of time. But judging from the response that I received over the last few days, this is an issue that is of real, true concern to sports parents, especially when their athlete has hopes, dreams of perhaps being recruited for college to play sports. And among the various issues, well, what can a high school athlete do when he's eager to show his or her talents to college recruits, college recruiters, and suddenly the youngster gets hurt? Maybe it's an ACL injury or a torn labrum or a concussion. Now look, we all know about sports. We all know that physical injuries can come in all different forms. But what does the athlete then do when he or she is confronted with that situation? Do they tell college coaches about their injury? Well, college coaches then become more iffy about recruiting that kid. And if a scholarship offer has already been made in writing, is a college still obligated to fulfill that, to keep that offer in force? But more than all that, what about the athlete, him or herself? I mean, they all know they have only so many years to play high school sports, and now suddenly their season is derailed by an injury. How do they cope with that? How do you, as a sports parent, cope with that? Now, look, for example, we know that females are between 4 to 5 times more likely to tear an ACL than males. I mean, look, you go to any women's college soccer team, and chances are that half of the women are wearing knee braces because they had ACL injuries. And the truth is, pitchers who undergo Tommy John surgery on their arms as teenagers, well, the full recovery rate is only about 75%. So, in other words, a substantial number of kids who go through Tommy John surgery never regain the kind of velocity they originally had before they went through the operation. So, again, how do these athletes cope when they're confronted with serious injuries in their playing career? So, I want to discuss this with you this morning, and I'll throw in some stories that I have heard, and I also will share some stories of my own. Because obviously I've been an athlete, I've been injured in my sports career, my own kids have been hurt when they played sports. I'm eager to hear your stories as well. You know the number, it's 877-337-6666, and the phone lines are now open. Let's start first with the psychology of being injured. If you're a parent, and if your son or daughter has been injured in their sport, to the point where they have to sit out several weeks due to being injured, well, you already know firsthand how difficult it can be to keep your kids' spirits up. And as noted, it can be pretty much any kind of injury that keeps your youngster out of the lineup on game day or from practicing, you know, during the course of the week. And if the injury involves surgery, well, chances are the kid is going to be out for the season. first obviously undergoing the surgical procedure, and then having to go through rehab, multiple sessions of physical therapy before they get back to their original form. So instead of focusing on the big game that's coming up next weekend, now they find themselves at home, recuperating from surgery, trying to figure out what will happen next in their sports career. I mean, coping with an injury can trigger all sorts of concerns for your athlete, and you need to really understand and know that. I mean, in their head, and I realize they're young, and they obviously they're very optimistic about their future when it comes to their sports careers, but deep inside, they're asking themselves, will they get better? How long will it actually take? And of course, doctors always make very cautious diagnoses as to how long the procedure, the recuperation period will take. But the kids want to know how fast will it actually take. How will I know when I'm good enough to go out and play again? And how do I react with my teammates and my coaches? I mean, for example, do I still go to all the practice sessions even though I'm just going to be relegated to the sidelines and I can't really do anything? These are the kinds of, and there might be any more questions, but these are the kind of basic and troubling questions that all injured kids wonder about. And they really aren't offered much in the way of guidance. Yeah, they might get a few pats in the back. They're told, yeah, don't worry, you'll be back to action very much soon, and they should just, you know, get better soon. But the truth is, and again, it's not talked about that often, but young athletes can get angry, depressed, even non-communicative, as their teammates and the rest of the team, well, they move on with the excitement of the season. And for the kid who's hurt, well, suddenly they're on the sidelines through no fault of their own. And as a parent, as I said, what do you do? What do you say? Do you just offer the kid some bland comments like, don't worry, you'll be back in action soon enough? Eh, that's a start, but it doesn't really do much in terms of making the kid feel any better. And the truth is, when your youngster gets injured and he or she can't play, it's really, really hard for everyone involved. And of course, injuries aren't something that you can ever plan on. They just happen. That's the assumption of risk when your youngster plays sports. But when it happens to your kid, it's then when your kid is, their life is turned pretty much upside down. I mean, I can recall in my own family, when my son John was between his senior year of graduating from high school and just entering college, and it was abundantly clear over the summer of playing baseball that year that his right shoulder strength was just not good. It was obviously in decline. And you know, John played through it. He was most eager to be ready for fall baseball practice in college. And as an infielder who throws right, bats left, it was essential that his arm strength was solid. But as he went through the paces in fall practice with the coaching staff, who really didn't know him all that well, it was evident that his right shoulder was not right. It wasn't improving. And finally, it got to the point where not only John really couldn't throw, and again, an infielder, he's trying to throw the ball to first base, some routine ground balls and stuff, but it also affected the way he swung the bat as well. So finally, that fall, and I guess it's probably, mid to late September, we finally took him to the hospital for special surgery here in New York City, and he was diagnosed with a torn labrum in his shoulder. He was operated on, and he knew full well, in talking to the orthopedic surgeon, that he was going to be on the shelf for a few weeks, and chances are he was not going to be able to play baseball that spring, because obviously the rehab and the physical therapy was going to take some time. So we did all that, and again, the operation, you know, went fine, and the rehab went fine as well, but he did not play baseball his freshman year in a situation where, again, he was not well known to the coaching staff. I mean, they knew who he was, of course, and so on and so forth, but it's a competitive situation. Plus, he's a first-year player in college at a Division I program. So, basically, instead of looking forward to making a contribution on his college team, he was relegated to the sidelines with his arm in a sling. And from his personal perspective, he had no idea whether the coaches had just basically written him off, or whether they'd be eager to have him back on the team as a sophomore. again, these are the worries that not only he went through, but obviously I was concerned as well. Sure, the coaches, the college coaches, the baseball coaches said all the right things to encourage him. But let's face it, we all know when it comes to college sports, especially at the D1 level, there are no guarantees. As it turned out, John recuperated. He did play ball that summer between his freshman and sophomore year in the Atlantic Collegiate Baseball League. Went back to college, went back to school in the fall with a healed and strong right arm, and he made the team and did fine. But that didn't mean he didn't worry about his future in baseball for months and went for months after he basically went through the operation for the injury. Okay, I want to hear your stories as well, because obviously this is a topic, as I said, it's not often discussed, and I've gotten a lot of emails over the last week from people who want to know more about it because they want to share their thoughts, insights as well. 877-337-6666. Let's start this morning with our calls with Dr. Rob Fried. Rob, good morning. You're on the fan.
How are you, Rick?
Good morning, Rob.
I'm glad you're following up on this topic. I wrote down some things as you were putting this your monologue together, and I'm going to go through them quickly. Injuries are devastating for all athletes, young athletes as well as like myself, an adult. Okay,
mm-hmm.
As well as all adults, who get injured. Use the time to catch up on other things. Go to team practices and games. This is for the kids. Support the team and your friends. Understand you will heal and return to sports. If you can do strength training on other areas that are not injured, okay, work on other parts of your body. If it's the lower extremities, okay, injured like a stress fracture, a calf injury, a hamstring injury, go to the pool, okay, swim, bike, use other muscles to at least keep your cardio up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
On my personal, not to repeat it, but just quickly, this worked out great for me. When I tore my MCL playing soccer, I found out after I got injured, coming out of the cast, I had to run, found out that was my talent, and still competing, just got into the Boston Marathon. So that's, something I have to look forward to all winter.
Right.
Parents, be supportive. Ask the doctor questions when to return. Be patient and support the young athlete, your child. Psychology, look at the girl Biles. Okay, look what happened to her. An Olympian. She had a psychological issue. Somehow she worked through it, competed in the Olympics. So it happens at all different levels. Now I want to get to a couple doctor points, okay, being as a physician. If it's the lower extremities, being a podiatrist, if you can't walk without pain, you can't run, okay? So there are different types of injuries. Soft tissue injuries, a hamstring, a calf, they take time to heal, and they can become chronic. There's different grades. A grade one could be a week. A grade two could sometimes be 3 to 4 weeks. We see the pros all the time pulling hamstrings. And if it's a grade three, that usually goes to surgery. All right, fractures, they will heal 100%, but you need to rest the part. If it's a stress fracture, usually 6 to 8 weeks, hands, thumbs, whatever it is. I mean, don't be a hero. And if you, let's say, you think you could go out and participate with a fracture, you can't. The bone has to heal. A couple other things I want to throw in for youth injuries, and you touched on the ACL, very common in young girls tearing ACLs, especially in the soccer.
Yep.
There's something with the knee as well, because it's called Osgood-Schlatter's disease. It's very common in young athletes. The young kids will complain of knee pain. This is not a serious injury. It's just the growth plate. As kids mature, they sometimes get knee pain. So that's just something a lot of parents hear from their young athletes. Mom, Dad, I'm having knee pain. Coaches should follow up with the parents and as well as possibly the doctors. Okay, very, very important. The most important thing I want to say, Rick, is use this time wisely as the athlete. The athlete can catch up on other things, and you will heal. Look at Alex Smith, okay, the professional athlete. He came back and made it back to the NFL. Tiger Woods, I saw on TV yesterday, is hitting golf balls already. Bottom line is, it's a tough time. I mean, you train, you want to participate, you want to be with your friends, but in the bottom line is that if you understand injuries are just part of the game, and you could grow from this because you can use it as motivation. You could, you could do so many things on a positive level instead of going the other direction and getting depressed. And I think the psychology, Rick, is really, really important. Parents should talk to their kids and don't force the kid back to activity so fast.
Yeah.
Talk to the doctors.
Yeah.
And I want to throw this out. Last thing I want you to make a comment maybe on travel teams. Those are pay-for-play sports. Sometimes the parents might feel pressured. You know, I just paid $10,000 between all of this for the hockey, and now I lost my money? What am I going to do? I want my kid to play. And, you know, Johnny, get out there and play. You know, it's not that bad.
Well,
something to throw out there.
Rob, you make excellent points, and thank you as always. I know this is an important topic for you.
Always the best, Rick. Have a great one.
Thanks, Rob. And I just want to underscore some of his comments. First of all, yes, Osgood-Slaughter disease, that is very common, as Dr. Free pointed out, with kids usually in their mid-teenage years. They're going through a growth spurt, and suddenly they feel like their knees hurt and they can't run. It's not a dangerous disease, but it's important that you check it out with your pediatrician or orthopedic surgeon to make sure that's exactly what's going on. Chances are the kid may have to sit out for a few games or practices, but basically it doesn't involve any surgery, just a matter of getting through some residual pain. Rob also pointed out that there's a real concern about coming back to play too soon. This is where you as a parent have to be, well, you got to look out for the best interest of your son or daughter, and you got to make sure you talk to the doctor and say, okay, let me know when my child is okay and gets a full, clear bill of health to go back and compete again. Do not be influenced by the fact that there's a big game coming up or the team really needs me or whatever it might be. No, this is a case where the doctors make the call, not you, not the coach. It's not your youngster. It's about your kid, because ideally you want to make sure the kid comes back totally 100% and doesn't go back and have a chance of re-injuring themselves. These are the issues that people have to understand and come to terms with. And yeah, as Rob pointed out as well, this is a time where you have to reassure your youngster that they will get better. And that may just be a situation where every day you repeat to them, they will get better. They have to maintain a positive point of view. Yes, they should definitely go and be with the team, their teammates, the practices, to show their support, to show that they are still, in fact, a member of the team and are still committed to the team. Commitment's a big deal when you're a kid in high school. And basically make them know that you're working hard, doing your part to get back to be with them as a member, as a participant on the field or on the court or on the ice, wherever it might be. These are things you just can't take for granted. And as a mom or dad, you have to basically set the tone and explain to your youngster what this is, that injuries are part of sports. And, you know, you do get better. Sometimes they're just a week or so. Sometimes it's longer than that. But you have to reinforce the fact that these are something they have to come to terms with, to come to grips with, and make sure in their own mind they understand that they're on firm ground. All right, let me take a pause. When I return on the other side of the break, we will continue our conversation. We'll talk about some other stories as well, and obviously influences, as Rob mentioned, like what happens if, as you said, my kid's on a travel team, I'm paying thousands of dollars. Is my kid, should they be back to play sooner than the doctors say? These are all concerns. It's all part of the whole picture when it comes to coping with injuries. All right, 877-337-6666. Back with more after this. Yeah, baby. Well, I'm sorry, I can't resist, but Michigan really, really pounded the Iowa Hawkeyes last night. And since my youngest daughter, Samantha, is a proud alum of the University of Michigan, this is their year. And we waited a long time with Coach Harbaugh to get his act together, but boy, they looked good last night. We'll see how it happens with the college playoffs, but yeah, they'll be in the action for sure. So anyhow, thank you for Hail to the Victors. Thank you, Ed Arzuman. All right, we're talking this morning about the psychological impact of kids having to confront and then coping with a serious injury in sports. And let me just add this before I get back to the calls. you know, I got to tell you, I've always found that a youngster is really only fully healed psychologically and ready to go when they find that once they're back to practice, even they've been totally cleared and given a clean slate, 100% by the doctor, they only feel that they are competing and are when they are no longer thinking about the injury itself. In other words, let's say they hurt their knee, and it's, you know, it's common that even though they've been told by the doctor they're good to go and they've completed their physical therapy, the kid is still going to be a bit tentative to go out and run full speed or cut hard on that knee that was injured. It's only after usually a few practices when they begin to focus more on what's going on in terms of the action, and they tend to spend less time worrying about their knee, that they now realize that they are finally okay and good to go. And that usually brings a huge sigh of relief, at least psychologically, to the young athlete. Okay, 877-337-6666. As promised, I wanted to get some calls about this. Let's start our conversation in this segment with Rob over in Bloomfield. Rob, good morning. You're next up on the Fan.
Hey, Rick. I work in the area of sports psychology, and we only could work with words, so I'd like to give you a quote and a story.
Yep.
The quote is, it's not what's happening to me, it's what's, why is it, rather than saying, why is this happening to me, you say, why is this happening for me? And when I say that to my students, they roll their eyes, so I have to tell them a story.
Yeah.
And this is from Glenridge High School. And there was a wrestler named Tom Maypoffer, and he wasn't that good a wrestler. In senior year, he hurts himself and he can't wrestle. So the coach, Angelo Corbo, said, Tommy, you could be the manager of the team. And he said, oh, it would be just too painful to be manager. So he went out for the school play. And he got the lead because Glenridge is a small school and most of the guys play sports. He got the male lead in the Broadway show Guys and Dolls.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the girl who had the lead, she had a stage mom. And a stage mom in acting is that's a sports parenting mom or dad to the third or fourth power. They're mm-hmm. really, really aggressive. So she made sure that there was a New York City theatrical agent at Glenridge High School to see the opening of Guys and Dolls. And he saw nothing in the girl. But there was a spark in this Tom Maypoffer kid. So he spoke to him after the show. And he gave him his card. He said, look, I want you to take acting lessons. And the kid said, well, you know, I have a single mom. We have no money. So look, I'll pay for the lessons. You know, I want to sign you. Well, Tom Maypoffer, believe it or not, because of that injury in wrestling, he has spent his whole life doing films. And I ask, is that a great story? And people say, yeah, it's an okay story. Well, it's a great story. If you know the kid's middle name, because Tom Maypoffer wasn't a good, you know, movie name. It wasn't a good Hollywood name.
No, no.
His name is Tom Cruise Maypoffer. That's how Tom Cruise got into the movie. So the worst thing that ever happened to him, the injury, turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to him.
You know, Rob, that's a wonderful story, and it also illustrates exactly, as you said, how to turn adversity into a positive situation. You know, and I know, and obviously our listeners know, that, you know, when you're in it, when it's and this kid, you know, Tom Cruise was focused on his wrestling and, you know, to be injured was devastating. He couldn't worry about, you know, doing something else. And that advice to try, well, don't try to go out for the school play and see how that works out. That's what is such a great sort of psychological support mechanism by one's parents or by a coach to say, look, you know, life is big. It's time for you to explore other possibilities as well while you're coping with this injury. And you know, some parents actually do that, and some kids actually pay attention, and they do find other avenues to find a way to express their creative abilities and to pursue their talents. And that's the perfect story that should be used over and over again. So, Rob, thank you for the call. That's a great story. I think people could really, really benefit from that, and that's something that if you have a youngster who is injured on the sidelines, you know, very quietly but positively say, well, you have some downtime there. Maybe you should look at other things you can do that you enjoy doing besides find other passions in your life beyond sports. Let's move on. Let's go to Jack Smithland. Jack, good morning. Jack, that was Dr. Rob Gilbert, wasn't it, who just called in?
That was the Dr. Rob Gilbert. He's a sports psychology professor at Montclair State University in New Jersey.
Yep.
And I've actually been a guest in some of his classes that were unbelievable. I mean, you know, he's the type of person like Dr. Rob, you just want to sit and listen to. You know, you just want to sit back and take it in. And, you know, he in my eyes, you know, both Dr. Rob Fried and Dr. Rob Gilbert are, they have so much to offer to this show. It's amazing. And like I said, I've been a guest in Dr. Rob Gilbert's classes at Montclair. And, you know, I love every second of it. I if you're listening, Doc, I'd love to be invited back. Sorry about that. But
you know, Rob Gilbert has been on the show, of course, several times in the past.
Yes,
and to your point,
yes.
He is terrific and, you know, is noted as a sports psychologist. He is very modest this morning, not to say who he was.
Yes.
But I heard his voice. Said, this sounds like Rob Gilbert from Montclair State.
Well,
either was.
I'm surprised he didn't use his name as, you know, Tom Cruise or something like that. But, you know, he gets into, and I'm a strong believer. My son's going through a couple, you know, downers right now in his life, you know, as we all do at times, you know, life throws us a curveball every once in a while.
Yep.
What you got to do with injuries is sit back and wait on it and hit it to right field, you know, and, you know, Dr. Fried talked about this too, you know, and so did you. Please don't rush back. That's the worst thing you can possibly do. And parents, when your child, an athlete, an aspiring athlete that's going to maybe go on and people are looking at him for college and things like that, you got to look for signs of depression and stress. And, you know, and there are signs. Kids will start withdrawing from activity. You know, they'll stay away from their team, you know, because they're upset. That's the worst thing they can do, because there's nothing better for a coach to see a kid who's injured that's there every day, you know, just watching and helping out any way he can. Stay involved. That will keep your mind on the recovery and the working to get back to that field, to that playing surface. You know, to tell you the truth, some of the signs are homework will start dwindling. They'll start, you know, neglecting. They'll start hanging out with the wrong crowd. These are things. And even in some of the psych books that I've read, you got to look out for now, you know, idle time can create bad times. And, you know, start, you know, look for alcohol and, you know, and talk to your kids about the usage and the bad things that can happen because of injuries. But like Rob Fried said, Dr. Rob said, you know, work the other muscles. Stay involved physically. Stay involved mentally. You know, stay around the people that are involved in that sport. You know, it's a tough time. You know, Zach was getting ready. My older son, my younger son had injuries in high school. He could have been a big-time college athlete like his older brother. But, you know, he wanted to go out and actually make real money, so he did. But Zach, in his junior year of college, getting ready to go into the pros, he was going to get drafted in his junior year at Penn State. In his first at-bat, against Norfolk State, he broke his hamate bone. And all of a sudden, all the scouts started, you know, not calling anymore.
Right.
He healed the hand, went back at the end of the season, got up lefty, the other side of the plate, and broke his other hamate bone 5 weeks before he was getting ready to go and play in Cape Cod.
Yep.
And he went to a doctor, he took both bones out, sewed them up, did his rehab, and he made the Cape Cod League that year. But during those 5 weeks, he was the most depressed kid I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
so
parents,
look for depression. Look for, you know, stress and, you know, a change in your child's behavior. Very, very, very important.
Jack, I just want to underscore that because, yeah, I mean, the parents have a hard enough time of their own trying to say, oh, my gosh, my kid was on the rise. The kid was going to get college scholarships, going to get perhaps scouted, maybe get drafted by the pros. Suddenly the kid's on the shelf, and the parents obviously, you know, are depressed and feel sorry for themselves, but they got to keep an eye on their kid. They got to keep an eye on the kid's mental state because all of a sudden the kid has all these hopes and dreams, and he's just on the verge of seeing these dreams, you know, take place, and all of a sudden it's dashed away. And as you just said, it's a vivid image. Suddenly, the scouts sort of like, we'll come back maybe down the road, see if the kid actually gets better, if his hamate bone actually heals, and so on and so forth. It's very, very difficult. And as I said early on, Jack, you know, it's if you're a kid who's a sophomore, or junior, or senior, and you're talking to college recruiters, they're making the rounds, and suddenly you have an ACL and you're out of action, or you have a concussion, or you have a torn labrum, whatever the injury may be. I mean, are the college coaches, are they still going to pay attention? Are they going to come back? If you were on their recruit list, and now do you drop to the bottom of the list? Do you fall off the list? It's a very, very dicey, difficult situation to find oneself in. And even though the college coaches obviously are in sports, they know that kids get better, injuries are part of the game, it's just difficult, particularly if the kid is trying to, you know, use sports as a way to get admitted into that program. It may not be about an athletic scholarship. It may just be about getting into a really good college because you're on the recruit list, the slot list to get in. It's difficult.
Can I say something, Rick?
Yeah, go ahead, Jack.
Also, kids that do get injured, those high school seniors or high school juniors that are being recruited, when you do get injured, you will find that the coaches that were recruiting you will kind of like back away for a while. It is your job. It is your job to keep them informed of what's going on. You make a call or an email or a text to them and letting them know how your injury is going, how you're recovering. Because what will happen is let's just say there's five or six schools that are looking at you, four will drop out of the picture. And maybe one of those four were your number one choice. So just like recruiting a college, just like going out, and you recruiting the college as much as you think they should recruit you, you got to keep in touch with those coaches and make sure they know how you're recovering, okay?
Yep.
Don't hide things. Don't keep it from them. Because if they find out that you're not being truthful, you're off their list. So
yeah,
keep it in mind.
I think, no, and Jack, thank you for bringing that point up. And thank you, as always, for your insights. And I appreciate it very much. But just to make that point again, if your kid is being looked at and being talked to by college coaches, as Jack Smithlin just said, don't hide from that. Be upfront and say, yeah, my kid got dinged. He's on the shelf right now. He's for a few weeks with this injury, that injury. Let them know, because the last thing you want to have is a coach who says, I heard about this third hand, or how come you guys didn't tell me this, and so on and so forth. And the attitude is that you can take control of this and be very direct with the coach and say, here's what the doctors have to say. The prognosis is for 100% recovery. This will take place the next, 2 months or 3 months, whatever it might be. But it's better that you control this and giving the precise information, the medical information to the coaches so they know. And then, as I said, the truth is, as Jack points out, some of the coaches will say thank you and they'll no longer be interested in your son or your daughter, but other coaches will be. And those are the ones you can sort of say, well, they're going to stick through my youngster through thick or thin, and that's the kind of coach you want to have for your kid in college. All right, let me take a timeout, take a break here. 877-337-6666. We're getting into this whole nitty-gritty of the psychology of helping your kid cope with injuries when they're in school. It's simple as that. All right, back with more after this.
That's right! Get up and boogie!
Get up and boogie on a Sunday morning. Welcome back to the Sports Edge. I just want to, speaking of early on a Sunday morning, I want to remind you, many of you know this already, but you can always go to AskCoachWolf.com where you can catch my shows as a podcast. If you happen to sleep in on a Sunday and you want to catch up with what was discussed on the show, you just go to AskCoachWolf.com and you can get it there, the podcast, the entire show. Before we get back to our calls about the psychology of coping with injuries, I want to give you a quick but curious update regarding the mess out at Mater Dei High School out in California regarding that hazing incident when a young football player challenged an older player on the team to a contest of bodies. Now, the younger player, who was outweighed by more than 50 pounds by the upperclassman, And we discussed this last week on the show. The kid suffered some serious facial lacerations, potential brain damage due to the vicious beating from the older player, and it was recorded by his high school teammates on their cell phones. Now, as you recall, Mater Dei High School is considered the premier high school football program in the entire country. But the head coach, Bruce Rawlinson, he totally denies that any hazing goes on there. But, you know, now the family of the kid who got beat up, he's suing the school. They're suing the school. We'll see what happens. But meanwhile, the local police department in Santa Ana, California, that's where the school is located, they saw the video, and they've decided to decline to press any criminal charges against the attacking football player or the coaching staff or the school. From the police's perspective, apparently, this was a totally voluntary, mutual kind of combat. And as such, the victim now can't come back and ask for criminal charges to be filed. Well, this decision by the local police department is not sitting well, as you might imagine, with the media, particularly out in that part of California. What the police department seems to overlook is that getting beat upon seriously by an upperclassman, well, that's viewed apparently in that school program as being obligatory for all the new football players, and that rite of passage, it wasn't voluntary at all. The kid had to go through this if he had any chance or any hope of making the football team. Anyhow, to me, this is kind of a real head-scratcher. I'll be watching to see what happens on this case in the weeks to come. By the way, the civil lawsuit from the kid's family against the school, that continues on. But again, this is in this day and age of concerns about hazing and bullying and rites of passage. I mean, I don't understand this. If you think a program, a high school football program of that stature, the last thing they want to have happen is a situation where your young, talented football players on the way up are getting beat upon by their own upperclassmen. That doesn't make any sense at all. It's just terrible. All right, let's get back to coping with injuries. I as I said, this is something that parents really need to think about and talk about with their son or daughter if they get hurt and what it means in terms of their well-being psychologically. 877-337-6666. Let's go to Ralph in Manhattan. Good morning, Ralph. You're on the fan.
Ironically, Cruz never went back to the stage. He knew where the money was, Rick.
Yes, yeah.
And he went directly to film. But do you know that there are parents that are under the misapprehension that if their son or daughter, I would assume, undergoes Tommy John surgery, he or she will come back stronger than before? And, you know, I would think that a parent would want their child to avoid the surgeon's knife under any circumstance, but apparently that this is not true. What are your feelings on that one?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, some months ago, I had Dr. James Andrews, the noted orthopedic surgeon, on the show, and we talked about Tommy John surgery and as you said, the mythology that seems to have built up for some parents who think, well, if my kid is 15 or 17 years old or 18, and they undergo Tommy John surgery, that'll actually strengthen their arm and their arm strength and come back and throw even harder. And Dr. Andrews said, no, in fact, it's just the opposite. And he said, this is not an easy operation. It's not a layup. And he said, truth is, 25% of the kids who undergo Tommy John surgery do not come back with the same velocity. You don't hear about it because obviously nobody wants to publicize a kid's sort of baseball pitching career has now come to an end. But it is serious, an operation, and there's no guarantee that it's going to work, and B, that's going to make your kid throw harder. So
it's always an iffy situation. There's no such thing as a safe operation, so to speak. You always take a chance. You know, when I was playing at a high level, and I hit one out on a kid. I hit the ball about 400 some odd feet way back in the old days, and the next time up, the kid, not a kid, he was actually a big guy, threw behind me, as they used to do in those days.
Yes.
And the first impulse, Rick, is to back up. I backed right up into his fastball. I got clocked on my head, wonderfully protected by this batting helmet of mine. Thank goodness I wouldn't be talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as that goes, I was never quite the same standing at the plate.
Well,
I always had a little hesitation. At one point, I was never afraid of anything, Rick. But after that, you know, even subconsciously, I'm not quite the same player. That's the psychological aspect of sports. That entails everything that you do on a ball field. And if something goes awry like that, Rick, you're never quite the same sometimes, depending on the kid, I would assume. But I know I wasn't.
I got to tell you, that's getting, you know, deeper and deeper. Now, you mentioned about, you know, hitting a ball a good long ride over 400 feet and then getting hit in the head for the next at bat. You know, a guy like a Giancarlo Stanton, and, you know, obviously he makes lots and lots of money, hits the ball real hard. But sometimes I think Yankee fans forget that this is a guy who got hit face flush by a fastball from Mike Fiers, and it, you know, basically broke his jaw, took out a bunch of teeth. I mean, hit right in the face from a fastball. And the question is, as any person who's ever played baseball and has stood in the batter's box, how do you come back with that? Because, you know, we all know major league pitchers do throw 90, 9,500 miles an hour, and boy, oh boy, you have to react instantly to know whether that ball is going to be a strike or it's coming into your head. And to his credit, Stanton somehow perseveres. He continues to, you know, get up there and hit and faces his those fastballs. It's tough. So I just think that you know, if you're an aspiring ball player, that's the kind of thing you have to cope with, and it takes some real courage, quite frankly. It's difficult, Ralph. It's as simple as that.
He's nothing but berated by the fans. They despise the guy. But you're right about that. The single most difficult thing in sports is to hit a round ball with a round bat squarely, and that's not always easy. But I'll tell you what, after that situation with me, I can relate because I was angry.
Yep.
That I wasn't the same guy. See, I didn't admit it to myself because I'm a young guy at the time. I'm thinking I could still run through that brick wall, but actually I couldn't. I saw my mortality, so to speak, and I was never quite the same. And the depression afterwards, my mother and father, though well-intentioned, never understood it, because back in those days, you know, you had to just brush yourself off and get up on your own accord. You weren't necessarily, you know, catered to if you had some sort of depression. And I went through that almost as much as when my mother and father were divorced. I went through more of a depression when after that incident, because I knew I was never the same player. And all I ever wanted to do was play Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Of course, it never panned out. But anyway.
Well, Ralph, thank you for that story. And I agree with you. But I will tell you that's exactly what we're talking about here, that somehow when you're a teenager, it's sort of, and again, going back when Ralph was a kid, it was expected of it. Well, you just, you know, push on. Don't worry about it. It's just a game. But the fact is, if you're a kid and you put a lot of hope and prayers and dreams into your sports career, and somehow they are accidentally thrown off the tracks, it's real hard. That's why we're saying to parents today and to coaches, take the time, be active, you know, talk to the kid, get them to express their concerns and anxieties. That's why we hear so much these days about, you know, kids and sports and concerns about mental illness and mental health. That's exactly what we're talking about here. Get those injured athletes to talk about what they're going through and what their worries are. The more they can articulate, the more they can talk, the more they can express their inner feelings and anxieties, the better off they're going to be in the long run. All right, let me take some more calls. Let me go quickly to Ed and Elizabeth. Ed, good morning. You're on the fan. Next up, how you doing, Ed?
I'll tell you what, I like Ed R. Zuman as the DJ. He's great.
Yeah. I don't know if he works parties or not, but we can certainly find out.
Okay. No, but let's get back to the topic. What parents need to find out is, and especially if they're being recruited,
yeah,
okay, when they go on a recruitment visit, they need to ask the question, what happens? I sign my letter of intent. I get an injury playing a sport, or I get an injury not playing a sport.
Yep.
Are you still going to honor my scholarship? That question has to be asked.
Yeah, Ed, and it's,
thing is,
It's complicated, as you well know, and that is a question that parents never ask because they're so usually they're so thrilled and excited that the college coach is offering some scholarship money. But you need to ask what happens, as you said, how long is if my kid gets injured? How long is what's the school's attitude about him or her retaining their athletic scholarship? Well, we all know that athletic scholarships only go year to year, but and in some cases, if it's a really career-ending injury, the school may be gracious enough to say, no, we'll keep you on for the full scholarship for the 4 years, but we do want you to do something to help out with the program, maybe be a student manager, keep stats, whatever it might be. But to your point, sometimes the school will say, well, you know, you got hurt, but you got hurt doing something else that had nothing to do with playing the sport that we recruited you for. Maybe you were, you know, out skiing or you were out swimming, something like that. That's when all of a sudden things can go haywire, and there's a real problem with the coach and who gets the kid is going to be losing their athletic scholarship money. It's complicated. Again, another thought about what you have to do as a sports parent to protect your youngster if they're getting hurt and they're playing college sports on a scholarship. Again, something to check out with the NCAA and their website because it's complicated stuff. All right, that's going to do it. And for me in this edition of the Sports Edge, my thanks as always to Ed Arzuman, the Z-Man. I'll see you next week right here on the Sports Edge.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.